There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. And I'm a bad hoop, I'm a doing types. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, and your symbol of justice for those who don't know. And I'm out to the world, trying to true. And if you want to step one of me, I'm coming after you.
And welcome to Marvel Avengers Alliance, number one covering source. It's been too long. It's been too long, Klotz.
It's been a week.
It's been too long, man. I don't know. I've seen Deadpool since then. I'm talking to the ethereal Klotz.
You know, okay.
Because he would be homies.
Because he would be laughing at you right now.
Yeah. So, welcome to From the Helicarrier, your number one news source for Marvel's Avengers Alliance. You know, I went and saw Deadpool late last night. I'll just blame it on that. We'll leave it there.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So I am Epic Boss McFall. There's Golden Age Ibbot, and we've got some headlines to get into.
We do. We get one last week of PvP. We're going to do a wrap up here and get some recommendations for the last week, things you can do. We get a last couple days of Spec Ops. Are there any things you still need to do? We'll talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about Lizard and Winter Soldier, and Charles will do a live lockbox opening, see if he can finally nab the reptile. Marvel Avengers Academy update, we'll talk about that, and MAA2 expanding in other countries, we'll talk about that as well. But before we do that, what's available? What can I buy? What's on the shelves right now?
Well, you know, we have to do this. That's right. Love is on the way. So we have this beautiful Valentine's Day sale. Now that's enough before we get sued. All right. Valentine's Day sale. Every time I see that heart, I'm a child of the 80s and 90s. And Every time I see that heart glowing, it's like Saigon Kick, man. That's who does that song, Love is on the Way. So it's a Valentine's Day sale where you can get the lovely Horsemen of Apocalypse outfits, apparently. Girl's Best Friend, which is almost a no-brainer at 8 gold. Mm-hmm. And you can do that. It's Diamond Strength that grants allies strengthened. Customized, of course, as every weapon is now. Diamond Strength gives strength when attacking with Girl's Best Friend. And then it gives a migraine to your enemy. You can get Big Brother still. Who is this? The lot boxes is Destroyer. Those lot boxes are going out of season here in about a week. Then, of course, you've got the PvP items. And then going with the Girl's Best Friend was a sword called BFF, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was 40 gold.
No, it was like 56. 50, when you got the two of them together, it was 64 gold, if I remember correctly.
Oh, grand total. And they work very well together.
They do, I will say this, they do a crap ton of damage. And one of them, you know, if you have both of them equipped, one of them becomes the Girl's Best Friend becomes a quick action. So you can actually get a couple different attacks. I had the gold sitting around, wasn't doing anything with all that gold. So I did pick it up, and it's not bad. I mean, like I said, it does a ton of damage, and that's about it. It's kind of really about the big benefit of that thing.
Okay. So there you go. You know, 8 gold, it's like, oh, that's cool. But at 64 gold, if you have it, two weapons, tag team it. You never know.
Right.
So that's pretty much it for sales. That's what's been going on. We do have a new Spartan.
Yay!
And we found out, I love hearing these things where people are in the Ibbitverse, if you will. You know, they came over from one show or another, or they came from one of my shows. You know, we like when everybody crosses over and has fun. And this is one of those times. Hey, I'm Rafa Miranda from Colombia, and I'm very happy to finally say, this is Sparta. And actually, of course, we don't have it for the show, but in the email, he has a picture of Leonidas with a sword doing his big scream, and the sword points to a map of Sparta.
which I thought was very creative.
Nice. Very nice.
I reached 300 after taking a hiatus in the first year of MAA to later feel left behind, but I continued powering through, and now I'm very happy to finally have reached this milestone. Thanks, FDH, for all the info I've sucked from your brains. Rafa Miranda from Colombia. Well, you and Kirk Cameron are welcome, sir.
So. Nice. All of a sudden, I lost my notes, too. My note page just disappeared. There we go. I got to pull it back up. Congratulations. And yeah, Rafa was somebody I knew back in 2012, emailed me some music, and we've been talking Coverville ever since. Might have even talked with him before that. My email just goes back that far. I don't, you know, hey, 4 years isn't long enough for me to keep email. So congratulations, Rafa. That's very cool. All right, let's talk about some of these current events here. As I mentioned, it is the last week of PvP, and definitely seeing a lot of the same teams over and over again. Still lots of Null, still lots of Kurth.
Yep.
Pestilence, Beast, and Enchantress. Red Hulk coming back in. I'm surprised I haven't seen more Winter Soldier, because I do hear from the Agents Only Lounge that he's really, really good in PvP. So what's your opinion on that? You've got him in.
Oh yeah, he's a boss. He's on offense. I haven't tried him out on defense, mostly because we know how AI can be. Mm-hmm. And you know how dumb AI can be. So you play Winter Soldier, in my opinion, two ways. The first way, of course, is you just go down the mines, green, purple, red, and they're stacked in order. Or, and I found out in my research that you can just do, and with Brian Peckinpah's help, you can do green, red, you can do purple, red. You don't have to do all of it. You can do it a lot faster. And especially if you use Solar Storm, they just blow up instantly. And it still holds. So, you know, I'll throw out a green. I put Solar Storm out. Everybody gets magnetized. Winter Soldier throws out his green. Boom. They blow up instantly, and everybody gets the debuffs from that. Next round, throw out reds. Boom. They blow up, and that pretty much ends the match. The second way you play him is if you go up against the Dark Energy Blade, or if you go up against a tech that locks you out, because the mines are tech, I think, then you have to use his other attacks. Or, you know, I haven't done it too much in PvP, but if you go up against, why throw out a mine if they're within 30% health? You just use his level 9 and does the fatal blow.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, that's it. So, but it takes a little bit of brains. So I haven't used him on defense because I'm afraid the AI has no brains. You know, I have found out one thing, though. I've been in communication with Playdom, and they have confirmed that their AI wrote Green Lantern. So we know kind of how that happened.
So they're the ones. Okay, yeah. Good to know. Yeah, that's fantastic to know.
But that's been mine. Now, here's the thing, too, about Fixer. I tried it out today, and with Winter Soldier, I can throw out either green and red or purple red. I found that the green red combo is stronger for the most case. But with Fixer, if you don't do green, purple, red, it gets dink, and it doesn't work quite as well. So his mines aren't quite nearly as powerful as Bucky's, apparently. But that's where that is. I've been doing my five, doing a little bit extra. Still sitting, hovering around 5%. And today I've been working on getting above that 5% and going ahead and getting adamantium this week. So before we hit game day.
That's right. Yeah, this is the, since we're in the home stretch here, this is the really good week to start working on getting into adamantium, because you don't want to try and barrel into adamantium on your last day. CVEs, you know, what other things that can go wrong and will go wrong, everybody playing frantically. So you want a good 3-4 day cushion at least to get into adamantium or stay in adamantium. Had a recommendation from listener James Borden, is a member of our Agents Only Lounge, who recommended that if you have it, use the Techno Organic Exoskeleton weapon. Looks like Colossus's hand. Just keep Colossus's hand in a bag and use it as a weapon. What's cool, it gives you the mechanical bonus, I think, or the heavy metal bonus, which makes you immune to bleeding, poison, and all those other debuffs. But it also makes you mindless. So Emma Frost, the Dark Energy Blade, all those things are pretty much useless against you. Yeah. So that's a really, really good recommendation. Big thanks again to James Borden in the now, Agents Only Lounge.
My question to you is, as we talk about this, obviously one of the things we've talked about carrying is the Skeptic or the Hexenjäger, which is the right. magic warding.
Right.
Do you now replace that possibly with this, or do you try to carry both? And at what point are you just a please don't hit me team?
You know, I run the Huygens Eye, mm-hmm. and maybe sometimes the Munin's Eye. I don't use the Hexenjäger, and what was the other one you mentioned? The
Skeptic.
Skeptic, yeah. I'm not using the Skeptic.
So you're not doing any magic warding?
Not doing any magic warding, because my team's really able to deal well with Enchantress and Beast, Pestilence Beast. Really, the ones that it does run into problems with are really major ISO'd out Kurth and
Null.
It's the teams you don't expect. Not Null. No, okay. Null I can get out pretty quick too. But Kurth and Invisible Woman, I think. I'm trying to remember what the other one is. I mean, there have been a couple
that's
times.
That's my defense that, is Invisible Woman, Kurth.
Yeah, it is a great defense. So keep that one up. I don't know if I've gone up against you, but that does. How does that seem to do for you in defense?
It does really well. I've been. Yeah. I don't look at my stats every day, but mm-hmm. I do come into either very little down or more often than not, especially being in coming up through Diamond and now in Vibranium, a little bit up.
Cool.
Every time. So it definitely has been doing well enough. And that's Invisible Woman with her EA. So and
well, yeah.
Earth with her EA. That. So.
Exactly. Yeah, because you want to make sure if you're running Invisible Woman, you want to make sure that you've got the EI so that what cleans if you've got a shield, it clears debuffs and prevents
them. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. So keep an eye on if you're a member of the Agents Only Lounge. That's a great place to see recommendations like this post where people are saying, "Hey, if you've got this, this is really good for beating the meta right now, and it's really easy to become." A patron just by going to patreon.com/ what is it? From the Helicarrier, I believe.
Yep, that's it.
And you'd be surprised how inexpensively you can join and become an agent.
Pride 909 asks, what's the good Kurth ISO? I asked that same thing because there was two. And originally I bought the one that guaranteed her counterattack, but I found out it's the other one, the one that leaves the runes on even after they explode. That's been pretty epic.
Oh yeah, brutal.
So that's how you use her. And then my style of tactics with her was fear me, I think it is, which puts the cower, which I hate that thing.
Yes.
I hate when it hits me for sure, but the cower gets on there. And then I haven't actively used her in a while. I want to say I think fear me is level 6, and then I do her level 9. And then you just kind of play it by ear after that. Mm-hmm. Then you can start, once you get two runes on everybody, you start punching them and they blow up. And
yeah, the game of interrupts, man, it blows.
Yeah.
If you're the interruptee, not the interrupter.
Which was weird because I thought they'd fix it to where you basically only can get it done once per round. Maybe it only applies to Cower because I saw my agent interrupt Zach's twice back to back. I was like, I'll take it, but I don't think that's supposed to happen. Yeah, can we get a judge's ruling over here? Yeah. Zax didn't take a turn. I think maybe Jeez. One of them was stunned, and then I don't remember. I wouldn't, you know how I play. Oh wait, something happened. Okay, back to work.
Right. Exactly. let me look over from what I'm doing.
It was enough to catch my attention that it didn't that he didn't take an attack.
Sure.
So I'm not exactly sure how he got interrupted, but he got interrupted somehow twice. So.
Funny.
I'll take it.
Cool. Any other things you're seeing with PvP that we want to talk about? I mean, any other recommendations or?
You know, I want to take another chance to say kudos to Playdom. I believe the improvements they're doing are much better. I've yet to get frustrated. Right? That's not true. I've been frustrated, but it's with myself. I haven't had the time to get in and play as much as I want to. But when I do get in, if I lose a battle, it's a fair enough battle. And if I'm smart and I just stop for a second and really analyze what's going on and pay attention, I can pull a battle back out and win it. Like Victor Mancha and Better A Bill, and I don't remember who the agent was and what they were equipped with, but they had me on the ropes. I mean, all my people were shocking not each other, but you know, doing the static charge.
Yes.
And yeah. I mean, I was down to blinking red health and I was able to go, okay, so let's stop. Oh, look, I use Spitfire as well. Spitfire has built up her attacker. She can take out the agent. So I'm at least going to take one down before I lose my whole team. And doing that and then doing a little bit of creative healing and creative playing, I was able to beat that team. So they've done the matchmaking very well, I feel like. And they've and there's no meta. You know, it's, okay, there's always a meta, but there's no the meta.
There's no, right, exactly. Yeah. There's no perfect meta right now that's just wiping everybody out, which adds a nice little variety to the game. I got dropped down to Diamond League. I think I'm going to have to do a little more PvP.
You might stay on that.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez. No, it is, but it is a lot of the, you know, a lot of the same teams, but not all the same teams.
Hackers are still prevalent. I haven't come up against them too much. I mean, I have because I was in Vibranium and all of a sudden came up against a 4,000 health team. Went, okay. Jeez. But I've had friends of mine up above Adamantium, you know, in the 2000s going, this person has 9 heroes and almost nothing in their armory, and they're in the 2000 rankings of Adamantium. That's pretty much a hack.
Yeah. Right yeah. That's a sign right there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, but not nearly, nothing is nearly as bad as it used to be.
And right. I mean, bad matchups and lots of people who are running nothing but insert coins in their armory and stuff like that. Yeah, and we did get another set of tasks that dropped, I want to say yesterday, for Lizard Lockboxes. It should be the last set of tasks if I'm...
No, one more. We get one more after this.
Okay.
Because it just has a number at the top. It says 3 or 4.
Oh, 3 or 4. Okay, yeah. Cool. Great. So, you know, it's 25 PvP battles, win 3 or something. I'll have to pull it up.
I got it. Let's see. It's right here. Fight 25 PvP battles, win 10, win 4 in a row.
4 in a row and 10. Yeah. Okay, cool. There you go.
And you'll get 40 boxes out of that task.
Jeez. So. That should help. That should help me tremendously. I've got currently on the 7th cover, and I've been getting nothing but not just duplicates, but the same duplicate for the last 4 issues. So I'm really close to just having that last bar filled, or that 7th bar filled, and then I can move on to the 8th. And hopefully the luck for me changes for bar number 8, and you know, maybe I've done my penance with bar number 7. We'll see.
Aren't Jesus, we beg you on behalf of it.
No kidding. Help a brother out.
That's a mess. But I've enjoyed PvP probably the most this time than in the past year, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely been good. That.
It's a fun challenge because it's not – because you're going against different teams, you don't just say, all right, I do this step, I do this step. Mm-hmm. Number 3 on this guy and boom, you know, you've got to pay attention. You've got to see what debuffs the other team is putting on you, like when you've got the runes on, things like that, and adjust accordingly. And I've, you know, taken weapons out. I've added weapons in. I've got the dark energy blade going right now. And I've got the, obviously the cube. I'm trying to remember what else I've currently got running right now. The Hadron Collider, the small Hadron.
You love that thing. That's,
I do, because it works really well with my team. The synergy with Avalanche and Null, with all three having those bring the rough down ground attacks, really, really gives a strong benefit. I think the only thing I'm using cube-wise is the health side of things. Unless... let's see... about the only thing I'm using on that is the health. Oh, here we go. Also running the Peace Pulsar rifle because the second attack on that thing is the PA grenade launcher, which prevents the other team from healing. So with the occasional, and I do mean it's occasional now, the occasional Iron Fist.
Yes.
He's been nerfed, but he still is a pain in the butt to have to deal with. So this just puts a big blanket attack on all enemies so that they can't heal. And you know who that really helps with lately is Red Hulk. That's, I'd say, more than Iron Fist. Red Hulk and his constant, you know, absorbing energy business. Mm-hmm. he'll still absorb energy out of you, but he won't gain it for himself, which gives you a huge advantage. And then the last one is Hugin's Eye, still running Hugin's Eye.
See, I've been running the newest infiltrator suit because immune to radiation, but you also get that chance of she's buffed up, so she takes less damage. Or she's being, I got a female agent, so the suit's buffed up, so she takes less damage. My character looks a lot like Ronda Rousey. I'm just saying.
nothing wrong with
nothing
that.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, she's tough. And she's finessed. Anyway, but you can also get that chance for an extra turn. So I've been doing two quick actions. So one's a quick action, then one's a regular action once you use it. So I'm getting two. And then it tends to happen in the first round, I get a third turn, and then I'll use the cube and do the Blackest Void. Otherwise, I only use a cube for health if I need it. Or every once in a while, polish it off with an Atom Smasher or something, you know, fun. Right. But yeah, that's been the setup, and it's been working pretty well for me.
Cool. I like it. Very cool. Oh, going up against a Hercules and Invisible Woman team. It's really cool when you see Hercules come back into play. Yeah. Like, because he was, you know, he comes in and out of style as far as like being a real monster in teams. And since these are all enemy attacks, I usually don't have to worry about mind control, which is great.
Phoenix might be making a comeback because they buffed her up, and I've been seeing a bunch of people use her as their lifeline, right? Mm-hmm. They're focusing on Bucky or some other character. I think I've heard Moonstone. I've heard other different ones. And especially like if you're going to bring Moonstone in, there has to be some kind of protection because she can get messed with a little bit.
Right. She's a great support character with very, very little armor, very little protection.
And of course, you can fix some of that with your ISOs and whatnot.
Sure.
But yeah, Phoenix, I've seen her come into play with bringing people back to life. So that's something to consider. It is good. I've seen a lot of new, well, not new. I know all the characters, but a lot of for PvP new characters that normally don't see the light of day.
Right. I want to say that we had an email from somebody who was talking about the effective ways to use Phoenix, or not using Phoenix, but that they silently unnerfed Phoenix so that she's back to being much more useful.
Yeah. Yeah. Unnerfed her. That's, that's it.
Denerfatized.
So is it techno organic armor? Is that what it's called?
Techno organic exoskeleton.
Exoskeleton. I thought I had that, but apparently I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was really bummed. I was really hoping I had that too.
I've got the boot, which does some of that, but not the mindless part of it. But
the mindless is key with Emma for sure.
It's in a random. Oh dear God! I need a 6-slot so I can make my team truly invincible.
Oh, endoskeleton. Thank you for the correction. Yes, not exo. It's in you, not outside of you. All right. Moving on. Anything else with PvP that we want to talk about?
I think I'm good there.
So this time next week, it will be game day because it's on the 6th day, which means that the 24-hour countdown will start at 3 p.m. on Monday, meaning while we're doing the show, 3 p.m. here, I should say, while we're doing the show, we're going to have the fun of PvP ending. So
it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting. So get into Adamantium before the show. if there was ever a reason to do that,
and now is the time. And if you're listening to the show live, shoo your kids away from the speakers.
That's right.
Exactly. This might have to be our first hard R.
Jeez. No kidding.
So I don't know how long, maybe a year ago. It's been a while. I did a Periscope when it first came out of game day and just propped my phone up against something so you can see my screen.
Right,
you
remember
hear
that.
My commentary. Yes. Yeah. And it was colorful, to say the least.
It was fun to listen to. And it was really funny to see like your desk shake.
Because I'm smacking. Yeah.
Right. Bam.
It worked. So you might get some of that next week. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, no promises. All right, let's continue on down the list here. We just have a couple days left of Spec Ops. So if you're still farming for things like the EISOs, the AISOs, and the weapons, you know, this is your last hurrah for making sure you get those things. You do want to make sure you try and get the breaching rifle. Is it the detonator? Right. You want to pick that one up, and obviously, you know, if you can five star, if you're close enough to five starring these, you do want to make sure you do that as well.
And of course, try to win the weapons so you have less to farm or build.
Now, or buy, yeah.
Little tip there, though, that I was glad somebody told me. I'm not even sure I'm going to get 64, or not 64, you need 24 to build the 64 gold weapon.
The big brother, yep.
I think I'm around the 16, 18 range. Okay. I haven't got to farm nearly as much as I wanted to. But the good news is, if these weapons become meta breakers, it will cost you gold. But once you've unlocked the blueprints, which is two star, three star, four star, right? No. Mm-hmm. Something like that? Yes.
Yes. Two star, three star, four star.
So once you've unlocked them, they're in your research forever. So you just have to buy the pieces to build them later.
That's right. And keep in mind, you don't have to, if you don't get them in time, it doesn't mean you have to buy the item. Just buy enough of the research items to be able to build it. So, you know, it might just be, in your case, just need 8 of them. So what, 16 gold?
Yeah.
To big brother, if you don't farm enough. So that's, you know, hey, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I'd like to see in the lot boxes, when you open up 10 and it does the spread out, research materials would be cool. Because I've got two weapons that I never researched that weren't like meta breaking, or they said, okay, if you have to make a choice, choose this one over that one. But they're sitting there, and I wouldn't mind having them. And if I, instead of buying the items it takes to research them, drop in my lot box. You know what?
Yeah, that would be nice. Let me
research it later. It'd be cool. Not the blueprints, because, you know, I'm just talking about the stuff that once I've unlocked the blueprints to do it.
Right.
God forbid you start talking about giving away free weapons that people earn, and it'll turn into, you know, it'll turn into Cube Gate all over again.
Right. The aforementioned Hercules Invisible Woman team just took me down, took me back out of Vibranium, back in the diamond. So there you go. There's a good team right there. Although they're ISO'd up to the max, it looks like.
Yeah, that definitely seems to be key in this. Mm-hmm. Is have your heroes leveled up and crystalled up appropriately.
Correct, yeah. Here's somebody who didn't get the memo, who's still running Iron Fist and Amazing Spider-Woman.
Oh, no, both of them together?
Both of them together.
Oh.
It's Team Nerf. Team Nerf a lot. Although, still, Iron Fist is still pretty damn good, even with his nerf, for sure. Yeah. Big shout-out, by the way, also to Kilgara, Agent Kilgara, Michael, who not only got Winter Soldier, which, you know, a lot of us have Winter Soldier, so no big deal there, but he's already got him to 15. This is a character he's been excited about since Comic-Con last year, when he got through to talk to producer Woods and ask his question during the live discussion.
Yeah.
And big shout out to him. All right. Anything else with Spec Ops? I mean, it's almost done. Just, you know, get 5-star your missions if you can, if you're really close to that. That's a good, good use of your last UISO, because, you know, a run through or two, depending on where you're at. If you've already 4-starred it, another couple of run throughs will get you 5 stars and get you 5 CP, which is worth it. Of course, obviously, going for epic boss weapons and things like that is always a help. So use your UISO and try and get those last things that you need. Moving on to Lizard lockbox opening. Charles.
All right. I'm going to take out Kurth right here with
a
very, very weak Spitfire, but all I needed was 100 hit points taken down. And just going to take a second to do it, and then we'll go do the lockboxes.
Okay.
Have you opened up any more since last week, or you're still, or you said you're still at seven?
Yep. Covers. I'm still at six covers working on my seventh. Okay. So still need 2 covers, and I've been opening as I get 10. You know, once you do your big mass opening, then it's like all bets are off. It's like, all right, as soon as I get 10, I'm opening 10.
So I need, I know. Right. I just forgot. I've been trying to do my PvP and this and that.
Sure.
And that. But I need right now 1, 2, 3, 4 dupes or 40 opens to guarantee Lizard. I'm a few battles away from getting my extra 40 boxes.
Right, same thing. Here. So I'm at nine battles and I'll have the task completed.
Yeah, I checked my how many battles. But I've got 26. I'm going to do 2 opens right now.
Okay.
And see if we pull down this cover.
Good luck.
I love the Lizard diamond plating on the side of the box here. And there's a duplicate.
Oh.
Nothing major in the spread there. And one more. I mean, of course, today I'll get him today because once I finish the task.
Sure, the few. Right, exactly. The 40 boxes. You'll almost be guaranteed unless you really have a lot of the bar to fill.
Hey, Techno Organic Exoskeleton.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. I've got the kimono and another duplicate. So I've got 2 more to open and Lizard will be mine.
Cool.
And I'll pack him away in the undercarriage of the flight deck because the animals cannot ride with people.
No, he's got a little carrier. Mm-hmm. And he gets to ride in the heated cargo space of the helicarrier, which is really, really nice. All right. Let's see. Anything else on Lizard Winter Soldier before we move on?
No, I mean, I do. I hope that Lizard is better than he doesn't look bad on paper. It's just, I don't know. He's not grabbing me right now, as most characters do.
It's funny.
I hope he's better than I think.
He's another one of those that... when you're going up against him in PvE, he can be a pain in the butt with his isoaid, or not isoaid. Well, he's got something different than abomination, but he has a thing that keeps replenishing his health and keeps regenerating. He's a pain in the butt, but people in Agents Only Lounge seem to like him. People here discussing it in the chat room seem to like him. So who knows? Might be fun to play.
I hope so. I like fun characters.
Sure. Sure. And, you know, running him with another member of the Sinister Six, obviously, is as Kingfisher talked about last week, is always a big bonus as well. All right. Moving on to some other games here that we talk about on the show. Marvel Avengers Academy. Not a lot to report on here, except that in just a couple days, on Friday, they're releasing an update, which is going to increase the level cap and add some other changes and additional fixes and stuff. So if you've been sitting at or close to the level 18 cap in Avengers Academy, that benefit or that limitation will be lifted on Friday. I'm looking forward to that.
How do you find enough stuff to do in the game without buying your way through to keep you engaged enough to hit that cap already?
You know what? It's a matter of kind of like what I do with the flight deck on MAA. It sits there on my iPad while I'm working. Or if I've got other things going on my iPad, like sometimes I'll actually have some notes, client notes, while I've got my screen filled with Photoshop. I'll look at my tasks and say, okay, here's a bunch for a bunch of different people that are all like 1 and 2 hours. So I'll set them all for 2 hours and then I'll set a little timer on my watch and say, all right, you know, remind me in 2 hours to go and collect all these and resend all those people out. That's really the only way to do it. And then save all your big, big long time missions for overnight, your 8 hours and 10 hours and things like that. That's all. I mean, basically it's, you know, it's just a time management. That's the whole basis of the game. It's just to time management.
It's good. Mm-hmm. I'm at the point where Enchantress, I'm going through her stuff to invite to recruit her to the academy.
Yes, right.
I liked unlocking the Quinjet. I'm at the point where Hydra has changed. The blimp has gone away and some little UFO thing is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting enough. It really is. I thought it wouldn't be. I thought it'd be too childish and too goofy. It's actually interesting enough that I go, hey, you know what? I'm going to open this up and see. I'll do 4 or 5 quick missions, and it inevitably comes down to, you know, do this for an hour or do that. Like, all right. Right. And I'll send people off, and then I'll just take off. You know, maybe at night, I'll go, oh, yeah, there's that game, and I'll open it up. So I maybe play twice a day for 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess – there would be an audience there, but when you said they're going to up the level cap, I'm like, holy crap. I don't, okay. Go for it.
What's funny? I was sitting on the couch with my wife yesterday. We were watching X-Files, and
that was a good one, by the way.
It was a good one. Yeah, we'll talk about that in one sec. Yeah. Even though that's more of a BTP thing, but I do have something to say about that. And she looks over and says, "What's that? That looks fun." I'm like, "Yeah, it's all right. It's like a, you know, like a build a little academy thing and put buildings up and run your little people to them and stuff." She's like, "Oh, what's it called?" It's a Marvel Avengers Academy. She's like, "Okay." And then she opens up her iPad and starts downloading it. So
we may have
hooked, you know, she may be the more of the target audience for this game than I am, but we'll see what she thinks. I think what's keeping me in this game, if it weren't for it being a Marvel property, I probably would have been really bored with it. But I like trying to get these guys to their level fives. And right now I don't have anybody at their level five, but I do have War Machine up to his level three, and he now looks like War Machine. You know, it's like once you get these guys up to their top levels, they don't look like little snotty millennial teenager punch him in the face with a barista.
Right. Punch him in the face with a barista.
No, with a barista. Well, use the barista to punch him in the face. Punch him in the face while you're waiting for the barista to give you your triple foam hot extra shot latte. Anyway, so it's goofy. I'm still into it, but something better happen on Friday to kind of keep me interested, because right now it's really, really repetitive, and it's really just as a matter of absentmindedly sending my dudes out on other missions when I check into the game.
Yeah, I would like something a little more engaged, a little more Clash of Clans.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Exactly.
They're doing a really good job of, I wouldn't even call this Farmville, because I didn't play Farmville 2, but Farmville 1 was kind of dumb. I got it. I got how to hook people in, but it's dumb. Mm-hmm. But the game I liked was Castleville, I think it was, where you, same concept, you build the city, you build these different things, they're putting out supplies, you have a character roaming around, but they kept coming out with quests, like complete these missions, and it would change your map. It would add things to it. And I could see to have some of that built in here. If you go through the fog, right, the time fog, you can see there's an Asgardian area. There's obviously there's right next to you is
Captain America's shield hiding out in there. Like,
yeah, there's the base is there. Mm-hmm. Right. Fury,
the shield base.
Yeah, shield base is there. So you can tell there's stuff there. Okay, there's going to be coolness. But now I want, you know, Add just a little bit, not a ton, just a little bit of seasoning from Clash of Clans, where I go and smash somebody for a second.
Exactly. Figure out a way to put some sort of mini games in here to kind of keep it a little bit more entertaining than really just it being a time management, resource management game, because that's really all it is. It's send your dudes on missions, collect your crap, spend that crap on unlocking other heroes or leveling the ones you've got or adding buildings. And it's... there's nothing else. That's not, you know, you get this kind of tease like, oh, now we're going to fight Hydra. You know, they've entered our base. It's time to smite them time to attack them. And really it's just cutscenes. What's that?
So it's time to take a selfie.
Down, right. Down, exactly. Down, down. Yeah. Oh, Wasp. anyway, so there you go. Yeah, so that's Avengers Academy, and unless there's anything really changing the game, I don't see us talking much more about Avengers Academy in this show.
Other than, I just got this inspiration from your wife doing it. It's nice little when your significant other's going, "You play the game again? Hey, baby, let me show you this game. check this out, honey."
Right, it does. There is that benefit, right? Of like. Well, all right, I guess I could check that out. It's like, you are hooked in now.
So you get to play MAA.
Exactly.
And we'll play that.
Exactly. All right, so MAA 2 just got released a few days ago in Canada. So we are getting closer to a United States release, worldwide release. Can't come soon enough for, you know, being able to talk about it on the show, because it is going to be a situation where there are strategies, there's suggestions, things like that. Right now I'm maxed out, and I've got, as soon as I get enough, the purple points, which are those are the scarce ones in this game. It's not even really the gold. Gold is easy to come by. The purple points, which I think they call action points in this game, are much harder to come by. And that's what you do a lot of your leveling with. Recommendations when we get that game fully released will come more fast and furious. The strategy just really tends to be, all right, PvP, what teams are great? And if you've got Electro, if you've got Wasp, those are two of the three you want to use. You just want to put the best ISOs that you can that match the color, for the most part, into your hero slots. The one exception could be Wasp, where you want to kind of put, you want to kind of load her up with purple ISOs, just really beef up her evasion, because that does seem to be immortality is having her evade every shot that the other team attacks with.
Yeah. So we started, I did not think they would, but they started a new season of PvP with Heimdall.
Right.
And it's 19 days instead of 30 something days.
Yes.
Which
and
is much
boy, is there some hatred on the Facebook page about this too, that, you know, all right, it's the second PvP tournament for a game that's not worldwide released. So
yeah,
how do people get these characters if they're not?
Somebody posted from the forums. Basically, they ran it down. I think actually linked it into our GSTU chat. And I've lost it since we talk a lot on the chats. So I should have put it somewhere else to keep it safe. Right. But the general sense of it was, here's how the stuff that you and I have been explaining, here's how some of that works. The things that were new to me was, somebody was asking how are they going to get these characters? And I said, well, we're not entirely sure yet, but we will make it available because fair is fair. So something like a purchasable character, something like that, to where we got early access, we got to earn it for free, but they will still be available in the game once it launches worldwide. So, but they haven't fully figured that one out.
Explained how it's going to be, right? And we know that at least, you know, in the case of Angela, somebody said that they got her can't think of what the third item. Yeah, opening a container.
Okay.
So she can be a random pull from one of those things. So we'll see. Again, not a lot to talk about until this thing goes live, but it is interesting that that they did start up a new PvP tournament before it went live worldwide.
I was surprised by that. The other thing I was surprised by is because it was a very limited release, right? And all of us, you know, presumably those of us playing on any particular regular level, all level 30 agents. I'm like right on the edge. I'm level 29 and some change. But then you've got at least some level 30 heroes. You've gotten a number of powerful things going on. You've possibly unlocked Electro already, those kind of things. So going to PvP going, okay, last time I was fighting against people who are all leveling up like me. Now I'm kind of afraid that PvP will be all level 30s. And the first couple of battles felt like that. But then it changed to where it was more flexible. And that came about the time they launched it in Canada. So maybe I'm destroying Canadians. I don't know.
Maybe.
Hopefully, you know, we need that worldwide release, because that's where you get that nice flux of matchmaking of, oh, you got all level 30 heroes, but you're not epically destroying everybody. So you need that flow for sure. But that's that.
For sure.
So I guess at this point, we're going to hear from one of our two submissions.
Yay.
Let's see. You know what? You and I, off the air, we were talking about Keira Knightley and Domino, and how she was in a movie called Domino, but that she could actually play the character Domino, which would be great in upcoming films. Just so happens that's kind of what Professor Pokey Prof is talking about. However, in the game. So here, let's turn this
picture. Greetings, agents, and welcome back to the MAA Microanalysis. I am your friendly neighborhood poker prof, and by the time you hear this, I'll already be in Vegas for a vacation with the family. As such, you probably won't be seeing me much around in the Agents Only Lounge. But I'm trying to be better about making sure I get these to the helicarrier on time, so this is being done right before I leave the state. And since I'm going to be heading to the City of Luck and Lights, I thought it would be time to talk about our own Lady Luck of the Alliance, Domino. Now, when Domino was first introduced, she proved to be an interesting ally in battle. A blaster who does fairly low damage, she instead is more focused around bringing utility with her interesting setup of debuffs as well as her passives, Something About Us and Get Lucky. The former is probably the more useful of the two, as it's a team buff that makes it so that your allies will get crits in battle a little bit more often than not. Get Lucky also represents Domino's mutant power of probability, allowing her to negate attacks, counter them, follow up on others, and generally lets her play the fight more as a random number generator than anything else. The most interesting attack she has is Hold Up. Capable of being a quick action through her Lucky passive, this attack has random effects depending on what she shoots out of the sky. This could be everything from a huge pane of glass that inflicts bleeding to an exploding barrel that inflicts burning and pyrophoric. She also packs an interesting move in her aerodynamite attack. Even if its effects are not guaranteed, this AoE attack has a good chance of inflicting its incapacitation and disoriented effects on at least one hero, with the AISO for this ability making it even better, with exhaust and bleeding being flat out guaranteed. I also can't go this review without mentioning the disadvantage effect on her level 1 attack. While this effect isn't unique to Domino, it's recently gotten buffed in battle. Now, not only will disadvantage place the negative effect of a target's class on them, it will also take their other passive abilities into account. So, for example, if you use a disadvantage skill on the 2-turn hero like Quicksilver, he'll get the exhausted debuff on him. This change alone can make Domino all the more frightening in a fight. Domino is an interesting hero who relies heavily on chance to be effective. While this could often leave her and her allies in trouble should Luck decide not to be kind, this could also leave her as an exercise in frustration for her foes, being unable to touch her with a bad luck hitting them at their worst times. Should you want to take the roll of the dice, Domino will do her best to play things in your favor. Head back to the helicarrier agent and see if they know more about Domino than I do. Seriously, I've got no alternate description for her.
You know, we mentioned that when she first came out. It was just too random. Fun, so much fun in PvE. Yeah. Yeah. I love taking her out in PvE. But yeah, PvP is hard to predict her. Maybe they'll tweak her code a little bit. But I just came up with a team name for the most random PvP team that you could play with.
Okay.
What the Luck, okay? It's Agent Venom and Domino.
Sure.
Right? Because you never know what either one of them is going to do. Because when Agent Venom's in Venom mode, he'll hit whoever the hell he wants to hit.
Yeah, right.
And Domino, of course, is like, oh, you know, here's a cool thing. And no, I don't feel like messing with you today. Yeah. If you could have a third person instead of your agent, then you'd have Phoenix on there because you don't know if she's going to revive you or not. You know, depends on her mood. So there you go. Have you played with Domino in a while?
No. Domino's been a, she's usually a flight decker. You know, she's somebody I needed to bring out. I think there was a time I was running her with Cable because you got some nice benefits between the two of them, but I think that's it. Haven't run a lot of Domino, so PokeProf might have actually gotten me back into thinking about trying her out again, because I did forget that she was a lot of fun. I mean, there were some aspects of her that randomness that were kind of fun.
Team Lucky Duck from Agent Wiggles, Howard and Domino, lots of random follow-ups and counters and such.
Lucky Duck, nice.
That might work.
That's a good one. That might work.
So here is All Hail the King 105.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. Now first let me say there's not going to be a video specifically tied to today's segment. Instead we're going to get caught up on some past All Hail the King episodes. Such as one for Winter Soldier and Lizard. Speaking of him, there will also be his first look in PvP today, so that should be up around the time of the podcast, if not sooner. Instead, what I'm going to talk about is things that are going on in the game, PvP, and a bit of Deadpool. So, PvP. I don't know how your season's going, but mine was going relatively well. I'm not sure what happened, but over the weekend, during one night, I lost about 160 points, which is really bad. However, what kind of alarmed me even more was after doing a few fights, I left for maybe 2 hours, came back to negative 60, so it seemed like the crush was kind of on. My solution for this, and what I recommend trying for anyone else, is to go ahead and make a push to a much higher rating. Try to get yourself out of that kill zone. Another little secret is, the higher rating brackets are actually oftentimes easier. I can't really explain that one, but it just seems to be the case. Then, of course, since we're speaking about PvP, I have to address this just a little bit. There, of course, are so many interrupts. And personally, I've been using Winter Soldier, who... Some of you wonder, well, what about that dark energy blade in his mines? I mentioned in at least one of his videos, if not both, that those interrupts are one of his biggest weaknesses. Really, they're his biggest, but you could say outside of Spitfire. Really, though, that hasn't stopped me from using him. And the reason is because him and Magneto, I don't think have lost a single fight. So, of course, I'm not going to change. My previous attack team, well, serious one, was about the same though, so really I could go with either one. The added benefit is Winter Soldier gains XP, so he's getting help in leveling. As far as the Dark Energy Blade though, some matches I get very lucky he doesn't get interrupted at all, but it has an unusually high proc rate with the AI, and especially against any mine placement. In one match last night, he got interrupted probably on 4 out of 5 mine laying attempts. The solution is, kill the agent. Any agent with the Dark Energy Blade is going down anyways. And that's because they don't just interrupt him, they try to make your lives miserable. Right after Winter Soldier's interrupt rate, I feel like any type of action where you're trying to debuff is going to be the next highest for that mind control interrupt. For example, they try to interrupt my agent all the time. And that's why I use the techno-organic endoskeleton, so it doesn't have any effect. And actually, I faced an opponent the other night that had Kurth and the Man Without Fear, plus a Dark Energy Blade. And between Cower, the Blade, and then even Daredevil interrupting, it was extremely frustrating. Yeah. They actually might want to try Heimdall instead. But basically, just when we thought PvP couldn't get any worse, it ends up being the season of the interrupt. The Dark Energy Blade, I think, was dreamt up by a madman. Maybe it was Deadpool's idea. Now, I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but I did see the movie. What I will say is a Deadpool movie should definitely be rated R, and I expected quite a bit, but not exactly what I saw. It was pretty outrageous, I have to say. Definitely not for kids. So yeah, I don't even know what to say. I expected some stuff, but not what we got. If you do happen to see it, make sure you stick around past the credits. There will be some bonuses at the end. Lastly, just back to the game for a moment, I hope that Chapter 10 comes after Spec Op. And really, I wouldn't mind if it came after PvP. Now that sounds kinda crazy because for 5 months, we were hoping for it. I'm right there at the top with you. So to wanna wait longer even seems weird to me. But I don't know what Damon Hellstrom's going to do to PvP. And there may be some other unbalanced weapons or items as well. So I personally wouldn't mind until after the season. Either way, though, I'll be ready, and I can't wait to take on those heroic battles. Plus, of course, get Damon. Until then, though, good luck to everyone. Thank you all for listening, and now I'll send it back to the hosts.
I am typing in the chat room to correct somebody really quickly here. Because I can't let that stand, Agent Arenos.
It's a Marvel movie. It is a Marvel movie just made by Fox.
I'm just saying. The statement was it's a Marvel movie. So
it's not a Disney. We didn't say it was a Disney movie.
It's a Fox movie, so there might not be. Well, they did a great job.
Hold on. Have there been Marvel movies from the other studios that have not had post-credit sequences or during the credit sequences?
I'm just saying.
Wolverine Origins had them. The second Wolverine had him.
Still not a Marvel movie, not really.
Oh, come on.
Is it good? It's good. Okay. You know, all I did hear Fantastic Four would had a stinger, and it was, you know, everybody killing themselves because they hated the movie. Deadpool, though.
Yes.
I know some people are like, eh, it's okay. Some thought it was immature. It was fine. But the two things I can say to it is, well, three things. It's a roller coaster ride of emotion. It really is. It's a hard R. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But it's a hard R. Absolutely.
Because boobs.
Because of everything. Nope.
Violence.
Nope. Yeah.
Nudity. Yeah.
My kids, I'll let them watch, as I've said, I'll let them watch all kind of things that most parents probably wouldn't let their kids watch. And they asked if they could see this. I'm like, well, this one I have to see first, period. And they asked me this morning, I was like, no, you're not. It's going to be a while. You're just not ready. No, you can't see this.
Yeah, it's true. No, it's that is the the right move is see it before you take your kids, because it could be some pretty uncomfortable moments. Don't see it with your parents either. I mean, I did.
Yeah, there's that.
But I would not recommend seeing it with your parents if that entered your mind as an option.
Yeah. No, MAA Clairvoyant, I don't know what you saw, but the boobs were not all covered.
There is a whole entire strip club scene.
Yeah, but yeah, there's all kind of stuff. Anyway, the last thing I would say about it is, because you just have to experience it, but it was the Deadpool movie I hoped and dreamed for, and then some.
Right.
So I was very happy.
I got a lot I want to say about it too, but I'm going to save it. We're doing a special Breaking the Panel episode this weekend. We will break it down. It will be spoiler filled, so it will be a show you want to listen to after you've seen the movie. But we'll talk all about it this weekend.
Yep, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. So cool. What else? Oh, it's time for the letters.
Yes.
So you get
from the field.
The first novel here.
Sure, Agent Nork put pen to paper. Lots of paper, and wrote, "Hello, FTH crew. Agent Nork here. I know this is kind of long, so feel free to skim, summarize, or talk to the teal deer at the end. After last week's letter about group bosses, I decided to do a little experimentation of my own. I have two MA accounts on Bookface that are friends with each other. Yes, I'm a mog. I'm my own best friend. My main account is close to being a super Spartan again. I'm still missing Kraven and Lizard and only have 113 level 15s. My second account is a 275 and going up fast, so I'll let you know when I go double Spartan." Jeez. Now, having two accounts that I actively play, I can test a few things when it comes to group bosses. First myth I wanted to bust was the once a group boss is defeated, it is removed from all your allies that you sent them to.
Yeah,
this is false. I took three group bosses that both my accounts could fight and tested this. The first was a boss that was 100% health when both accounts loaded the boss. I refreshed account two and used account one to take the boss from 100% to zero for science.
For science.
I like that. Then I opened the boss on account two and it showed the boss at 7%. I did this two more times with allies that the boss was over 10%. And each time, no matter how many times I refreshed account two, I could still fight the boss. The update to the boss's health going from 100 to 7 as soon as I finished the fight on account one. So just kind of teal deering it. You know, it they don't take the boss out, the group boss out, when somebody takes it to 0%. The next thing I tested was how long would an ally's group boss stay and if it did matter or not if you collect your reward. This one I'm still doing testing on, but it seems that once you get a group boss, you have about a day or until the nightly refresh to fight the boss. Account 2's boss showed up on account 1's bar about 24 hours after I sent out the random invites, and I did not fight it, so I could not see how long it would stay up there. After refreshing throughout the day, the boss stayed on the bar, but the next day, with still 24 hours left before the group boss respawn, it disappeared. I didn't collect it. What my theory is that if you get a boss invite, you can fight it until either the boss is destroyed and the reward is collected, or the boss has been defeated and the nightly refresh has happened. Interesting. In doing all these refreshes, I found something that I found interesting. When starting a fight with a boss that's already defeated, the amount of health the boss has randomly fluctuates between 3 and 10%. Once I noticed this, I loaded up a boss and went into the fight, saw what the health was, at and then refreshed. I did this 10 times on one boss and got different health levels every time from 3 to 10%. This is useful since if the boss is under 5, you don't get the 5% box. I've started using this trick to get the max amount of boxes and silver out of boxes, or bosses probably. Granted, account one doesn't need more silver since I'm sitting at 118 million plus. Jeez. When it comes to sending, I tried 3 different methods. First was pick 10 allies from account 1 and exclude account 2 and see if account 2 could fight account 1's boss. This method went as normal, and after 48 hours, account 1's boss never showed up on account 2. So it may be true that you only have 10 invites. I'm going to test this again, but pick 10 allies that I know are inactive and see if the results change. Second method was just to hit the X and not click on or send all with account 2. This time, it did in fact allow account 1 to fight account 2's boss, even with me not sending any invites. This may just be random luck, but I'll have to have a larger sample size to know for sure. The third was to only send the boss just to account 1 and see if any other agents would be able to join. This method did work, and account 1 did see account 2's boss. The funny thing was that other allies took part in and ended up taking down the boss, even with me not sending them invites on purpose. Very interesting. Mm. My conclusion is that you might just get 10 invites, more testing is needed, and if you don't pick who gets those, it's random with who gets them. Also, it would seem that if you only send out, say, 2 or 3 invites, the rest, if it's limited, are sent out randomly. I'm still going to do some more testing on timing, but I want to let you all know this information before the end of Spec Ops. Now back to my notes and spreadsheets. Agent Nort. P.S. I'm Commander Level 24 on MEA-2. I'm not an addict. An addict goes to meetings. Well done. Nicely done there.
I like the last part. Well, not okay, the last part was funny, but I meant the last part about if you only pick out 2 and 3 and the rest are sent out randomly. That's cool because I always kind of lose track. Like, I know early on I'm trying to make sure Kingfisher got some because he's had issues. And I was picking out people like Robert Lee and yourself and you people who I know play and need help and want it, but I would never send out necessarily 10 because the menu gets a little weird. So if I search Brian, right, I get all the Brians that are on my list, and say you're in the middle. If I click your name in the middle, everybody below you disappears. So I just have to research it to go find it.
Right, right. Find
an alphabet.
Yeah, exactly. I have two. I know two Charles that play, and if I don't select the alphabetical one second, then you disappear.
Yeah, but I mean, you can research it. But it's like, there's times when I'm not going to get much trouble. So I'll do 2 or 3 or 4 people, and then just hit send, hoping that they filled it in. And so it's nice to know that they do fill in the rest of the boxes and send them out. Because I'd hate to not send out 10 bosses. If you can only send out 10 bosses, but you're really only sending out 4, that's kind of crap. I mean, I'm glad that they fixed it or work on it. All right, Agent Greg, a dude here. Last year I started keeping track of lockboxes, both how many I got and some of the good stuff we find inside those boxes. There have been 10 lockbox heroes from Enchantress to Lizard. I also purchased Satana and Thane during a big sale. I figure 12 lockbox heroes is enough to start a sample size. Enough of a sample size to start looking at the numbers. The average number of lockboxes to acquire a hero is 205. The most lockboxes was 270. This is experience, not math, because we know math states otherwise.
Way higher,
yeah. But most lockboxes was 270 for Enchantress, and the fewest was 140 for Howard. The best start was 7 covers and 70 lockboxes for Howard. The worst start was 5 covers and 110 lockboxes for both Enchantress and Hyperion.
Wow.
The average number of lockboxes to get cover 8 is 74.2 out of 80 max, because you fill it up and then open. Wow. The average number to fill up to get number 8 is 74. That's most of the bar, man. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Number of times I filled up the bonus bar, 9 out of 12. At first, I thought that was 9-12, so I'm like, I don't understand that, but now I understand
it. Number of times I filled up. Okay, yeah.
So he had to fill up a bonus bar out of 12 heroes that he opened. He had to fill up a bonus bar at least 9 times. You know, out of 9 of them, he had to fill up one bar, I'm assuming. Right. That's what I'm reading. Fewest lot boxes for number 8 was 40 for Bucky. Mm. I put a breakdown of all 8 covers at the end.
He never got any of them right on the first, like for comic cover number 8 and get it right off the first one. It makes sense because you've got basically a 1 in 8 chance of getting the right one.
Right. There are other things found in lot boxes besides covers. I kept track of good stuff like CP and weapons. The average number of CP that I found on the course of acquiring heroes is 15.8.
Nice.
The how do you get a 0.8? I don't know. The most
the average CP.
The most was 35 with Dane, and the fewest was 1. With he got 1 CP with Destroyer.
Jeez,
that's about right. It's about how much you get if you play with him too. I bet the best I found in any 10 lot boxes open was 10. In a 10 open, he got 10 CP.
So he opened a 10 pack of Thane lock boxes and got 10 CP with him. Wow. Yeah.
Here's a list of the weapons I found. A few are pretty good, most are not. Baltax Blaster, Blade Blaster, Bleak Harvest. This will be in the newsletter and on the website.
Right.
And then there's a breakdown for each cover. And of course, the numbers change. You know, number 2, the average lot boxes were 13. Lot boxes open. I'm wondering if he's opened one at a time, or if because you would think if you were opening 10 for every hero every time, you wouldn't get a number averaged of 13. You'd get more like a 10 or a 20 or something.
No, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
I think he's only opening 10 at a time.
But he maxed out the second bar 5 times out of 12. 3 and 4 had the same stats. A cover 3 and 4 had the same stats of average of 13.3 lot boxes and maxed out 0. Mm-hmm. So basically he's opening it's either in the first open or the second open on the third and fourth bar.
Well, by average. Yeah. I mean, 13.3 means that, you know, it's a third of 40 basically. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Number 5, of course, average goes up to 24 lot boxes, maxed out 2 twice. Mm-hmm. The 6th cover average of 20 maxed out once. 7th cover was average of 35 lot boxes maxed out 3 times. And then the 8th cover, as we all know, is a bitch to get. The average is 74 lot boxes. He maxed out that bar 9 times out of 12 heroes. And that kind of sinks in with my memory of my experiences here
it's,
lately.
What's interesting, though, and I guess because it's because of the small sample size, is that it doesn't go up cleanly, you know, as it doesn't ramp up.
Right.
So, you know, the fifth comic for him averaged out, I'm sorry, the 6th averaged out lower than the 5th. And you'd think that it would be constantly going up, like 13.3, then 13.3, then 24, then back down to 20, then shoots way back up to 35, and then, you know, off the scale at 74.2. So
it's pretty much you're going to max out the 8th bar is what we're saying. That's very close.
Pretty close.
Max out would be 80, of course. So that's pretty close to you're going to max out the bar.
Right. Right. And he did. He maxed it out 9 times out of 12. Mm-hmm. So that's a bummer. You know, that's 80 lock boxes that you should, or 70 lock boxes that maybe you shouldn't have to open. But yeah, crazy. But awesome, dude. Thanks for keeping track of all that. Very, very cool. And keeping track of that stuff with other lockbox characters that you get, because I think it would be interesting to see over time how that number might change.
Yeah, absolutely. So one more email.
A nice short one.
Yeah.
Agent Half Hill writes, "Hey, FTH agents, do you ever see us getting any more content for characters that Disney doesn't own, such as X-Men and Deadpool, or will those heroes just stay on the shelf? I was curious with the next X-Men movie coming this spring." So here's the only precedence really we have for this was, obviously we got nothing for Fantastic Four. Still haven't seen it. But there was a new costume or an alt released in time with the Amazing Spider-Man movie. The first one after the Sam Raimi trilogy, the first one with Andrew Garfield.
Yes.
Why was I thinking Andrew Lincoln? That's Rick from The Walking Dead, isn't it?
I don't know.
We did get a new alt, although it wasn't called the official movie tie-in Amazing Spider-Man uniform, but it was tied in with the release of the movie. And who knows, maybe with Civil War, I mean, obviously with Civil War, we're going to get a new Black Panther costume. I think we can all predict that. But with the X-Men Apocalypse film, who knows? Who knows what we might get as part of that? Maybe nothing. They dipped pretty heavily into the mutant well before, so we've already got...
Sorry, MAA Clairvoyant says, we got the Spider-Man costume because on Sony doing a deal with Disney over movies. I don't think they were working on that deal that early. Because they did a second Spider-Man movie after the first one.
Right.
Now, I will say the difference is that was Sony versus Fox, and we know on the movie level, Fox and Marvel have been warring with each other. I get there is a battle, a true battle going on, but it doesn't have to affect every inch of everything that we do. We should have absolutely gotten a Deadpool all, and we might still, you know, the anniversary is coming up very soon. But we should have had a Deadpool alt in the game, because the game is far enough to remove from the movie. We're all going to go see the movie anyway.
Right.
The rising tide floats all ships. So I know I've been digging through Marvel Unlimited to read Deadpool comics, and mm-hmm. that benefits Marvel. This game benefits Marvel and Disney, you know, just because you're getting licensing money from it, because they still have... See, that's the thing that nobody ever mentions, right? Fox isn't getting 100% of the money. They still have to pay Disney for the rights. Right. There's still a licensing agreement there. So Marvel's still benefiting from these ticket sales. And why can't we have it in the game? I don't know. Now, am I holding my breath? No, because X-Men First Class and X-Men Future Days of Future Past, we saw nothing in the game from that
mm-hmm.
at all. So with them saying no more mutants in the comics and killing off characters, I do not believe we're going to get anything from... I mean, we're more likely to get a Batman alt in this game than we are to get X-Men or Deadpool, I think, at this
right.
point.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can't even imagine what they would do as far as... as far as a Deadpool alt to tie in with this movie, unless they gave you like, you know, his, the white costume that there was kind of a little bit of a nod to.
That red costume is just more of an update. It's similar to Frank Miller's, I know everybody gets mad if we call it Netflix's Daredevil, but mm-hmm. Netflix's Daredevil came out and we got that costume in
right.
the game. It wouldn't have to be a big alt, but the current Deadpool red costume is slightly different than the movie version. Avengers, same thing. AOU comes out, and oh, guess what? We get movie version costumes, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they could have done that. I'm not saying it needs to be done, although, you know, more Deadpool is always a good thing, in my opinion. You know, this is to me the kicker, right? Every year at the anniversary, Deadpool has come out and said, hey, there's a breaking the fourth wall. Ah, it's our anniversary. Here's a costume. Go and collect mm-hmm. nothing. And here it is. And within 5 minutes, you have whatever it is, the reward is.
Right.
We'll see if they use him for the third anniversary coming up.
Yeah, it would be great if they do. But yeah, I know what you mean, though. Like, is it a sore spot now for Marvel/Disney/Playdom? Who knows? Yeah. And Pride 909 in the chat room is asking, I can't see the difference between the Deadpool alt and the movie we have in the movie.
The movie one? No, come on, really?
I mean, he's talking about Spider-Man, because he said that earlier. I can't see the difference between the movie outfit and the one in the game. With the Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man outfit, it was the spider was bigger on his chest. Like, it went from his neck all the way down to his stomach, basically.
And like this one, if it is Deadpool, I've got the Deadpool red costume up right now, and he's got the big black eyes, and he's got like black shoulders and little patches on his chest and ribs.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the movie, Ryan Reynolds' version, had a smaller black eyes, it had straps over the shoulders, and it had like a big black, almost jacket-type vest coming down the center.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
That's my opinion.
Yep. Yep. No, it'd be pretty,
minor. I watched it last night and was having too much fun. So
pretty minor differences if they didn't have based on that, obviously. But,
you know, Hulk. Hulk got purple pants instead of green pants.
Right. No, I still think white Deadpool uniform would be really, really cool.
You mean like his X-Force one?
Yeah, do we already, is that, are they already using that in the X-Force alt?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, never mind. I even have that one.
Look, if it speaks and it happens, that's the power of From the Helicarrier right there.
Yeah. Yes, and it, they even retrograded it enough to make us think that it had been there the whole time. It was really well done. They inceptioned us, all of us. To make us think that it's been there the whole time. That's right. I forgot that was in there with the Psylocke and the Wolverine and Okay, fine. Got a tip. Do you have any tips? I don't have a tip.
No, you know, I don't this week. Hold tight. Chapter 10 is coming. They're releasing new art, more new art. And we know the more they release information, the more it's coming. So you check your watch because we usually end about 5:30, about 6 o'clock Eastern, you're going to get Chapter 10. That's my guess. The real money would be on Friday. You know, Thursday or Friday. That's their their release dates. But
it would be nice, especially after Spec Ops ends. You know, if you do want to zip through and try and get those last EISOs, AISOs, weapons, and CP, then always nice when you don't have to deal with that afterwards.
Yeah, and I'm with the King. Let's because there's always somebody out there who will blaze through this thing in 8 hours and get all the weapons and the alt, and let's wait till game day's done. You know, one more week. We've already waited, what did he say, 4 or 5 months, 10 months? I can't remember how many months he said we've waited. God,
it's been crazy, right? Yeah.
So we can wait. We can definitely wait another week because, God, please just.
I can't believe you're suggesting that they release on a slower schedule.
I'm not suggesting a slower schedule. I'm suggesting a common sense schedule. How many times have you messed up the end of PvP because you released something?
Right.
So let's not. All right. All right. Here comes the Woodard.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast. And Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com. And find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on the Helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, the boss and his chimichangas have fled.